Welcome to the Forward Watch podcast on Yachting International Radio, where we navigate the ever-evolving world of yachting leadership. In today's episode, I'm joined by the incredible Joey Mean, a key figure in shaping the Yes I Am Me program, a training pathway that has set the standard for excellence in service and leadership within the industry. We'll be diving into the importance of guest training, why professional development is crucial for crew, and how structured learning elevates both service standards and career progression. Whether you're just starting in yachting or looking to refine your skills, this conversation is packed with valuable insights. Let's get started.
Right, Joey, let's dive in. So you are so well known in the yachting industry and have been involved in so many projects. Can you explain a little bit about who you are and the birth of Yes I Am Me, linking that back to your current position?
Yes, of course. Thank you, Karee. I think I've always been a real supporter of yacht crew. I think that was very clear. And I think I've been 35 years now in the industry, so that's probably quite obvious. I'm quite passionate about the journey I've been on and the career that I've taken. I think it was really around 2004 that I really started to connect better with the crew. Up until that point, I'd been running training centres, like one in the UK and one in France. So I had a connection there from the education side, and I started Ask Joey in 2004, and that was helping deck and engineer crew navigate their way through the MCA's new qualifications, which were launched in 2002. And I spend a lot of time with individuals, many who are now captains and chief engineers, some who are retiring, but anyway, I was very proud of those years of just being able to give that advice and mentoring to so many people, because there wasn't really anything in place at all in our industry at that point. So that was my first, if you like, birth into looking at career developments and how I could assist and progress people with their journeys. I was part of the Yacht Qualifying Panel with MCA, so I was very used to education and qualification development, because that was something I was part of leading up to that point with the Deck and Engineers. And I think it was around 2008 that I really recognised that we were really missing a trick with the interior training and the interior crew. I've always looked at the cohort on board of the departments. I've said it before, it's three legs of a three-legged stool. Each leg represents the departments, and without one, the other, all the show falls apart. It's not going to work. And I think if you really want, good operations on board and owner experience, which is what this is all about, the owner experience, we need to look after each department equally. And each department has its own vital contribution to the operations and is just as vital to the industry as each other. So
absolutely,
that's how I look at it. Yeah.
It's interesting because I spoke to a captain yesterday and he disclosed that the training budget for the crew is $3,000 per crew member, but he said most of it goes to deck.
And this really is a culture that is unfortunately still there, and I'm actually quite shocked that it's still there. And we're almost, well, we launched Guest in 2013, which was a career path for interior crew, and I'll come back to that. But to respond to your question, to your observation, and as captain's observation, it is such a shame that we're not seeing budgets equally distributed across the crews on board, because everybody on board has a vital role to play.
Agree, but I think it's because they don't see the importance of the qualifications for the interior team, hence the tickets to be able to achieve certain things, because there's a protocol to the safety that they have to complete these tickets in order to perform certain roles that the money's allocated to them. So how can you highlight the importance of interior training? And if the interior team aren't trained, what is the impact and the knock-on effect of that?
I think that's a very good question, Karee, and I think that comes back to what we've developed. And we developed it with, I don't know, it was about 48 people on the group, and it took 5 years to build the programme and put it together. It's a progression path from introduction, advanced management. I mean, we've steered into other areas now outside of the interior department with guests, but for the interior, we were very focused on not just the technical skills, very focused on the meta skills, the soft skills, which I think is 90% of what we see from the interior department. I mean, the technical is the performance. But also embedded right through that is health and safety. I mean, it's there are issues on board for interior crew as well who need to understand their own welfare and well-being, and to protect themselves, whether it's working with chemicals, machinery, in closed spaces. You know, there is actually quite a lot that goes on from the interior's point of view that needs attention when it comes to education. I think the value of the training is you know, and it speaks for itself in as much as you need to learn how to do the job you're being employed to do. And I think if you've got a salary basis, you know, whatever it is, there's expectations from your employer. And those expectations are you can do the job to the standard that they're requiring. And particularly the individuals you're working with, and based on the fact that the interior crew are pretty much the front line to the owners and the guests on board, it almost feels like a nonsense that that particular position hasn't been looked at as actually probably pretty fundamental to everything that we're all doing, whether you're a charter broker or a recruitment company or a yacht manager. The bottom line is the owner and guests, and if you're putting all your faith into the interior department who you haven't trained or haven't put any value on their training, really what you're doing is just putting an enormous amount of pressure on that department to be able to perform without you actually giving them any support at all, and yet expecting the industry to have this wonderful image and high level and performance, and the owners are going to be happy and everybody's going to have this great trip. It's even now I'm sitting here thinking it just doesn't make any sense why that logic hasn't been applied to the training budgets on board.
So tell me, the coffee's brewing. Given your knowledge with all the career courses, training courses for the interior team, what would be a fair budget for, like, training budget, annual training budget for interior?
I don't think it needs to be even that much. I think, you know, you can cherry pick the courses. The way we developed Guest was very much short courses, so we aligned it with the way that the deck and tech courses are run through MCA and other flags. And we did that on purpose because we appreciate crew haven't got lots of time off, and when they do, they don't want to be spending weeks on end in the classroom necessarily. Again, because our industry doesn't provide training time off, it's always done through the crew's own often budget and or supported by the boat's budget, but also their own time is typically how this works. So we did bite size. The progression route is quite simple, I think, from the introduction level, which is very much based on entry-level crew who've never worked in the industry before. So it's a huge, it's a five-day course if you want to do the whole package, and it includes everything from life on board, what to expect coming into the industry, who's who in the industry, acronyms, because we have so many, CVs, health and safety, you know, your own welfare, communication skills, etiquette. It includes all the technical skills in the interior department, right through from the service to housekeeping. So it's a very comprehensive course, but it is at an introduction level, and it's done on purpose because we don't want crew A to spend too much money before they started in the industry on their education until they know they really want it. But we give them the fundamentals of what they need. So when they turn up, first day on the job, standing there ready to go, they have a really good idea about what to expect, what their life on board is going to look like, what the expectations of the employer are, what the expectations of owners and guests would look like, and what their role, where they fit into the hierarchy on board, with the hope that then there's some mentoring to bring them up to a more advanced level to then start doing the advanced training. And again, that's very cherry-picked. They can do, they can focus on housekeeping, they can focus on the service side, they can do the whole thing. There's specialist training in there as well, so if your boat has, for example, into the cigar side of things, there's a cigar course. If it's very heavily wanting you to do more on the mixology, bartending or wine, floristry, there's all of this included, as well as the extra courses. But the core courses, the core training, is very much about the operational side, and that's how to manage the teams, how to manage that environment, how to manage the administrations in that department, from checklists, inventories, maintenance plans. So that's all in there. And again, it's all very focused around supporting that particular role at that level. And then there's the courses in the management level, and that goes up to leadership training, And then obviously the event management, location management, administrations, and it's very focused again on key areas that will support that role as the head of department on board.
Thank you. So what is the purpose of guests for trainers, so institutions and crew? Because I know from a training perspective that there is that stigma about guests thinking, oh, it's just another money-making scheme, I don't want to sign up.
Yeah, I think the problem is we've got far too many, I mean, no offence to anybody because I'm sure some are really good, but there are a lot of pop-up schools as we term them. And I think the difference between that and an accredited training provider is that the accredited training provider works as a team within the organisation. So everything that's delivered within the content of the courses are on trend. It's agreed across the board of training providers, so it's something that's then got a standard to it. We update it, we review it, we get feedback from the onboard cohorts and those doing the courses to make sure that what we're teaching is what they want at that level. It's not extended to the point where we're ripping people off to do more than they need to do, or, you know, you have to do these courses to get this job. It's nothing to do with that. It's actually all about supporting their role. It's giving them the confidence and empowering them to be in those positions and to start looking at moving up the ranks. And I think that's one of the most important parts of what Guest does, is it supplies individuals with enough information to get to the next level and then enough information at the next level again. So it's very gentle, it's very progressive. There's a huge amount of support for those that come through the training providers. Again, we work very much as a team. We have, 35 training providers across the globe, and everybody's delivering something slightly different, so there's a lot of choice for people. And everybody works well with each other, but also the ethos is very much about a universal support for crew. And I think that support is throughout their career journey, and they have a lot of professional advice coming from those that have the experience and knowledge to be able to impart it. And I think that separates us from the training courses that are popping up left, right and centre with people delivering all sorts that's not checked or has a standard. We have no idea where people come from. You know, we had somebody not long ago applying to become a trainer and they've had 2 months in the industry. Well, of course they're not going to cut the mustard.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't know if you're going through your Instagram or your Facebook or your online thing, who you're actually speaking to. And I think the confidence from the industry's point of view, from the crew's investment point of view, whether that's time or money or just to gather resources, go to a professional, go to people who are actually accredited, and have that back end support as well as what they're doing.
Perfect. You mentioned mentor skills.
Yes.
What do you think are the most fundamental mentor skills to have as a crew member?
I think the ability, the communication is clearly the top. You have to be able to communicate. And I think, again, that is something that you would feel would be quite obvious to most people that we were able to communicate. But we're communicating with different walks of life, different cultures, different nationalities. We're communicating with peers, with bosses, with owners. So the skill sets actually for communication in the onboard environment isn't just your normal average communication requirements when you're in any other environment. So I think communication is one of the most important skills to have, to learn and to foster, because I think with anything, particularly with leadership training, it's something that's a growing block that you have to start, you have to invest in yourself and build. The other meta skills for sure, I think, general skills such as, an eye for detail, having an awareness about yourself and how you present yourself to others is really important, particularly with the onboard environment again. There are a number of skills as well I could add to, just basic sort of life skills, being able to help each other and be aware of what other departments and teamwork and what people are doing. So I think that is a fundamental skill for the onboard environment for sure.
Thank you, Jory. I know you're also very much involved with the Superyacht Alliance. You've got fingers everywhere doing everything.
Yes.
What is the Superyacht Alliance?
Well, the Alliance was formed nearly 12 months ago now, and it was formed through the the main associations that represent the yachting industry, who are based in worldwide locations. We are always open to more associations joining, and it's any association that has an interest in the superyacht industry as a not-for-profit association that can assist us with building what we're looking to achieve, which is a professional industry. The whole title of the alliance is Superyacht Alliance for Professional Standards, and we are aiming, and we will achieve, because there's a lot of determination behind this, to standardise and professionalise our industry. It's growing every year. You know, it's probably one of the fastest growing industries when it comes to this kind of thing with high net worth individuals, and it's not slowing down. So we need to be prepared for the future. We're seeing way too many bad practices still going on, and we're not blaming people for this. The cultures have been sort of not changed, and you know, like when I go back to my 90s starting in the industry, you know, it was very much a make it up as you go along culture. So you know, I think we need to change habits. We need to support people better, support companies and organizations better, and this is both on board and shore based. So we're looking at instilling, one of the aims is looking to instill a career map across the whole sector, and working very hard at the moment. We started, we're working very hard to get this over the line over the next couple of years, where the onboard career mapping is fairly simple. It's a fairly clear cut based on mandatory requirements, and also now with the guest program there, it's also able to manage the interior. The guest program also provides additional training that mandatory training doesn't cover, because we all know that mandatory is a minimum level, and the nuances on board require far more skills than just the seamanship side. So that can facilitate. So we've got a good solid foundation of career, of education and career progression on board. We're now looking to take that shore based, and the reason for that is we want to be able to facilitate ship-to-shore career advancement, or our life after yachting, as many call it. And I think this is an area that we have organisations already working on, brilliant organisations that are looking into ways of being able to tackle this. And we want to be able to provide, through the Alliance, a proper education path as well. So we're looking at existing training, because there's no point repeating something if it's there, to see how we can map that. We're looking at extending the training portfolio through the guest membership of the Alliance to develop more training if it's needed and where it's needed, so that we can make sure that there's a proper career options for people coming ship to shore, and also to attract the right people coming into the industry to know which routes they can take and what education they might need to upskill with from previous employment or other experiences.
Can you give examples of some career pathways for those crew who transition shore-based?
Sure. I mean, we've just developed the... I'll use the one we've got. We've done it and we've proved it works. We've got the owner representative program we put in place again last year. And this was driven by CBAS, the Shipyard Association, where it was very obvious that that particular role, which is actually probably the highest role you can probably get in regards from the owner's relationship to the industry. The owner rep on a new build is your key to the rest of your journey within the luxury hospitality and industry with the yachting side of things. So we created a four-part program that now has the ability to bring captains or chief engineers or anybody with the right experience from the onboard environment who are then looking to progress into shipyards, new build, your owner representative roles. It also is attractive for those who are already owner reps or have done a little bit of owner rep to upskill, as well as those maybe moving from other areas within the industry, like project management, for example. They might say, actually, I now want to step into an owner rep role and extend that knowledge as well. So it's open doors now for both shore-to-shore careers, ship-to-shore careers, and those careers coming from outside the industry as well.
And for interior?
The interior, we've got the PERSA program at the moment, so that one has become the default for the industry, which we're really happy to see that the recruitment side of the industry is now asking for the Yacht PERSA program. That one's been on available. I think we're now coming into our sixth, seventh year maybe. You know, that's a really important course. It's, in fact, we get a lot of captains doing the course as well, because if they don't have a personal board and chief officers, you know, the content is exactly what they do on a day-to-day basis. And unless they're taught on board and have that mentorship on board, it might miss a few things, so that's all there. So, but that also is progressing people to maybe come into other parts of the industry, certainly within the management side of things. The knowledge learnt through the PERSA programme, as a captain would know, or chief officer would know anyway, all those skill sets, all that experience totally leads into, you know, a really nice shore-based role in the yacht management or other. I mean, there's lots of others working as well.
Fantastic. Yeah. What do you require or would love to have from shore-based stakeholders to support professional development and training within the industry?
I think I'd love to see shore, but I think we're seeing it actually. So I think there is a step towards it. We are seeing some companies really start embracing education as the way forward. And I think anyone that's looking to, you know, who has set their goals for the future of what they want their career to start looking like, you know, it's always about building blocks. And the building blocks don't just start with, don't just end with experience. You have to build the blocks with training. Leadership being probably the most prominent one, because if you can start some leadership training early on, you know, so the first minute that you are actually charged with looking after individuals or teams, you're able then to manage that environment and then start building on it. And I think if we can instill that through the shore-based roles as well, and you know, ask the shore-based companies to start investing in their personnel in their own companies on leadership skills, I think that's really vital to the future of the industry, to make sure we've got the right leaders in place, and that it's a seamless journey. It should be a seamless journey. I think from the shore-based roles, looking at the onboard roles, I would really like them to start supporting better the roles of the interior, as we spoke about earlier. I think there really needs to be more value put on to those individuals that have those jobs. You know, you're progressing quite quickly through the interior department because it's a shorter career for many, not all, but for many. And I think, you know, you lose time very quickly if you're not investing in the skills that they need, the technical skills that they need. And particularly, again, coming back to the leadership, I think that is essential. You know, the minute you step up from into a second stew or third stew even, you're leading somebody, and they're really precious skills to be learnt to make that onboard operation more seamless. So I think if we want our industry to thrive, and every shore-based company is totally 100% affected by actually that yacht performing, because otherwise the owner might go and buy an island instead of a boat. Let's not lose the vision here. They have yachts because they enjoy it. Everybody's linked to that moment, and I think there needs to be a focus on that particular element of the industry more.
Absolutely. Very informative interview. Thank you, Joey. Do you have any parting words?
I think anyone career advancing and looking at, you know, options for their future, I would always say try and start as early as you can. I think preparation is absolutely key to what your vision might look like. I mean, there's always opportunities that pop up that might distract from that, and they may be great and they may not be, and there's always knockbacks. I mean, we all have knockbacks in our careers and other challenges, but I think if you can stay focused on what you know you want and adjust and realign your career path, the journey to that point, I think you will always be able to succeed. And it's all about the research, and you know, I can't stress enough, always get your information from a reliable source, always check out the right people to speak to. There's certainly enough of us out there. You've included Corinne, you know, I mean, there's so many people that work within the accreditation bodies with the training providers that have got that accreditation there, that have got the knowledge and support behind them to assist individuals. You know, I think always look for the right places to get the information that you need to advance your career. That would be my my final say on this. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Corinne.